everyone. Please be seated. Welcome to St. James on this absolutely gorgeous Sunday. I could get used to this weather. This is fantastic. I've got a couple of announcements for you this week, and as some of you may have seen on Facebook, one of them is a big announcement that we teased last week, so I'll do that one last, because showmanship is not dead. The first that I'd like to announce is, last week I completely forgot to thank Ralph, who is covering for Steve for the month of August. Ralph is fantastic. I talked to someone on Sunday who said, who else but St. James Westminster? Can I come to a church and have a fill-in organist who's better than most organists in the city? So, Ralph, thank you. Thank you. The second is, next Sunday, I'm not actually at St. James Westminster. I'm flying home from Calgary from my sister-in-law's wedding. If you remember Teresa, who played the violin, she's getting married on Thursday, and Heather and I, after service, are heading to the Robert Q and to Calgary for the week. So I will not be here, but Kevin Dixon will be taking the service, so you know it's going to be a good one. With that, we're also putting together a Chimes newsletter for August because a number of things have been happening and new things are going on. I've written a couple of articles. The wardens are going to fill in some things. If there's anything that you would like to have announced in a newsletter before September when the crowds come back, please let Rebecca know. And then finally, our big announcement. I'm very excited. You may remember that in my vestry address, I talked about the sign outside St. James that says that we are a diverse community that has exceptional music and children's programming. And I said, we're doing pretty well on the music. The children's thing could use a little bit of a hand. And after a lot of conversations, looking at numbers and budgets, we found the ability to hire a half-time youth minister who is an ordained Anglican priest, and we will be welcoming Ann Weber onto the St. James Westminster team on September the 1st coming this year. So we're so excited to have Ann join us. If you are wondering who this person is, she's been coming to St. James for a little while and sitting in that clump of people over there. But if you'd like to meet her firsthand, she will be at the service next Sunday, not doing anything, but just sitting and getting to know people. And if you can't wait till next Sunday, she's also covering the Wednesday morning Eucharist for me. So another invitation to come to the Wednesday morning BCP Eucharist at 10:30. So those are the two announcements, and we're thrilled to have Anne join us. So with that, let us prepare for worship. Would the congregation please stand? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And we say together, Almighty God, to you all our hearts are open. And let us pray. Almighty God, you sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church. Open our hearts to the richness of your grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love, joy, and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the proclamation of Holy Scripture.
A reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Put away falsehood. Let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness, wrath, anger, wrangling, and malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Tree of life, my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green. The tree of life, my soul has seen, laden with fruit and always green. The trees of nature, fruitless be compared with Christ the apple tree. His beauty doth all things excel. By faith I know, but ne'er can tell. His beauty doth all things excel. By faith I know, but ne'er can tell. The glory which I ne'er can see, in Jesus Christ the apple tree. For happiness I've long have sought, and pleasure dearly I have bought. For happiness I long have sought, and pleasure dearly I have bought. I missed of all, but now I see, 'tis found in Christ the apple tree.
Lord be with you. This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves, for no one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who has sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. That first reading that we had is a wonderful articulation to the church. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry, but don't make room for the devil to break in. Be kind with one another, love one another, support each other, and bear each other. It's a wonderful reading, but man, is it too hard to preach. It's hard to really care about one another. It's hard to not let your anger get a hold of you. And so I'm going to just hold it up there as the perfect ideal of what we should do. We've all heard it. We all know that when we wake up in the middle of the night, mad at a friend or a cousin for doing something stupid, it's there. We know what we should do. But today I want to talk a little bit about the gospel reading. In John, we have Jesus talking about being the bread of life. This is an image that Jesus gives often, and it's one that is central for our life as Christians together. It is actually how we come to know Jesus. You see, I've heard of Desmond Tutu, but I don't know Desmond Tutu. I've heard of stories of Jesus, but I know Jesus not because of the stories that I've heard, but through the encounter that we have on a Sunday morning here in church. For years, the Anglican Church did not do communion every Sunday. In fact, it was only occasionally done. And back in the Edwardian days, it was viewed as very unbecoming to have communion. Because if you had the Queen of England or the King of England now in church with you, and you had the hired help, they'd all come up to the communion rail and receive it in the same way. And how disrespectful is that to station and authority? Good Anglicans for years and years did morning and evening prayer that are absolutely beautiful, but you could have your reserved pew that you paid for and make sure that no one else sat in. You could have the hierarchy maintained. But communion, the Eucharist, is something completely different. It's where Jesus invites us to meet him, to get to know him in a way that isn't just hearing stories, but is a beautiful self-giving of a divine life. Now, you can read tons of theology textbooks. You can read all about how this happens and the way for it. And the beautiful thing about the Anglican Church is that we're a broad spectrum. We have a lot of people who are on different positions in the church. Robin Williams, who was an Anglican, famously said, "The best thing about being an Anglican is that no matter what you believe, you can find another Anglican who believes the same thing." And while he meant that as a joke, I actually take it as a badge of honor. We are a broad church. We are able to embrace the differences that we find in one another. I've talked often about how the person you're sitting beside right now might vote for the Conservative Party or might vote for the Liberal Party. But also the person that's sitting beside you, when they receive communion, might believe that they're taking the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ in physical form. You might also have someone sitting beside you who thinks this is just a nice symbol that we do. And the truth is, the Anglican Church is big enough that we can accept both of those things. We can have priests who have strange giant golden starbursts that they take a Eucharistic element, one of the little bread that you receive at communion, put it in and show it around to the whole congregation so that they can just see how holy Jesus is sitting in here. And isn't that a wonderful thing just to see Jesus in the bread that would be in this lovely elaborate starburst is to show the holiness. There are some churches that when the bread and wine is lifted up, the bells are rung to symbolize that something important is happening. There are some churches where they hand out pita bread and grape juice, and they all drink it out of little individual shot glasses. The fact of the matter is that in doing this ritual, in whichever way we do it or receive it or understand it, we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus. Not just somebody who we've read about in a book, like Nelson Mandela, but a living and present God, real in this moment, in this space, in this time. And it is through these corporate actions, through these rituals, that we come to know the Spirit of Jesus, who gave himself up on the cross for us. Someone with all power who chose to be a victim for our sakes. To know someone like that is to be transformed, is to be changed, is to be, to use an old church word, redeemed. So that that first reading that we had isn't too hard, doesn't need to be left on the shelf, but instead lives inside of us. That we recognize that even if we're in different places in our spiritual walk or in our political journey or our cultural background or our sexual orientation or you name it, we are all part of one body, the body of Christ. When we share communion, however we understand it, we are sharing in a holy and beautiful act. Something that has the power to transform us and to transform the world around us. And so while this might just be a random Sunday in the month of August, today we're doing something extraordinary. Today we're doing something life-changing. Today we're doing something transformative. We are preparing ourselves to meet Jesus here and now. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would the congregation please stand? And let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. Would the congregation please adopt a position of prayer for the prayers of the people?
Sing praises to the Lord.
Whose love endures forever.
Heavenly Father, in your love, draw us nearer and deeper into your presence. Give your church grace to imitate your Son. Nourish us with the food that leads to eternal life. Sing praises to the Lord.
Whose love endures forever.
Heavenly Father, calm our words that we may use them to build up and nurture in your way. Put away from us the ways of malice and evil. Sustain those who lead in pursuing justice and peace. Sing praises to the Lord.
Whose love endures forever.
Heavenly Father, when the going is hard, save us from despair and faltering. Put behind your people the complaining that saps strength and joy. Renew within us a song of thanksgiving and praise. Sing praises to the Lord.
Whose love endures forever.
Today we pray especially for Anna, Ashley, Carolyn, Maxine, Alan and Sherry, Brian, Eunice, Gavin, Don and Nancy, Kevin, Sylvia, Catherine, Shanee, Joan and family, Robert, Judy, and Marilyn. Sing praises to the Lord.
Whose love endures forever.
Heavenly Father, prevent the angry being consumed by hatred and bitterness. Strengthen the weak and weary. In your tender love, restore your people. Sing praises to the Lord.
Whose love endures forever.
Heavenly Father, you have marked your children with the seal of redemption. Hear our prayer for all who have died. We pray today for Helen and Claire. May we pass through death to life with you forever. Sing praises to the Lord.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. After his death and resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples, and he said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you." Let us share that peace, Christ's peace, with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, receive all that we offer you this day, and grant that in this Eucharist we may be enriched by the gifts of the Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. In our unending joy, we echo on earth the song of the angels in heaven as we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his death.
And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ, and make them new, and bring us to that city of light, where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
Oh.
Let us pray. Before we use the official prayer after communion, there's a prayer in a little book that I love called the St. Augustine's Prayer Book that's for immediately after you receive communion that I think ties into my message. So if you don't mind, I'll pray this one and then we'll pray the official one. Our hunger here is satisfied and our thirst forever quenched. Here are things wonderful which we feel and great which we see and unheard of which we utter, whose souls are possessed of this Paschal Lamb and made joyful in the strength of this new wine. This bread hath in it more than the substance which our eyes behold, and the cup, hallowed with solemn benediction, avails to the endless life and welfare of both soul and body. It serves as well for a medicine, to heal our infirmities and purge our sins. As for a sacrifice of thanksgiving, it is enough that to me who takes them, they are the body and blood of Christ. His promise suffices. His word he knows which way to accomplish. Why should any cognition possess the mind of the faithful communicant but this? O my God, thou art true. O my soul, thou art happy. Amen. Eternal God, grant your church the unity and peace that we have tasted in this Eucharist, the fruit of your life-giving Spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And before I give the final blessing, I'd just like to invite you all to the Great Hall for lemonade and refreshments after the service. And so the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to its close, but our service to each other and to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.